anything like that on any of those, please turn to the Word of God to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We come this morning to the conclusion of our I Am series. Today is part 7, I Am the True Vine. I don't know about you, but for me personally, this has been a wonderful journey of the great I Am statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are at John chapter 15, verse 1, please say amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God, Jesus says, by the way, this conversation takes place after they leave the upper room where the Lord's Supper was given, and they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Reading from the Word of God, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. Continuing on in the Word of God, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done with you. Looking up at the screen, let us all read verse 8 together. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. May the Lord add his blessing upon his word. Father, we lift up the speaker today. Forgive him his sins, that they are many. Let him speak only your words in truth, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
While your notes may reflect that there are 3 points today, there are in fact 4 points, but you have room right below the third point there that got in the last point for today. Before we continue, let us take a look at the last verse of chapter 14. If you're there in your Word of God, say amen.
Amen.
Chapter 14, verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do, arise, let us go from here. You see, this conversation has just taken place in the upper room. And this passage tells us that Jesus and the disciples are about to leave the upper room on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would pray, followed by his being arrested by the Sanhedrin. The disciples would run away. Christ would undergo 6 illegal trials, beatings, flogging, and finally execution on the cross of Calvary. Knowing what is to come, because Jesus Christ is God after all, no one could fault the Son of God if he were to be at this moment a little tense. Maybe a little inwardly focused, amen, on what is coming. But what does Scripture say about Christ's attitude at this time? Well, if you look on your screen at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, this is Matthew's rendition of what is going on here. As they leave the upper room, it reads, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Can you imagine knowing what is coming? Can you imagine singing hymns on the way to your execution? But why, how could Christ possibly do that? For the joy set before him, he willingly embraced the cross of Calvary. In other words, Christ went to his execution joyfully for Larry, for Miss Joyce, for Kevin, for Khalil, for Aaron, for Mr. Doreen, for each and every person that has ever lived. But back to our text. Now, apparently the conversations of John chapter 15 and John chapter 16 happened on the trip from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. The exact distance is unknown, but we generally agree that it's about 1 mile. That's in general agreement. Now, imagine this walk. It's in the evening. The disciples following their Lord, listening in. During this time of year, the grapevines would be beginning to blossom. The fragrance of the blossoms in the air with the promise of the harvest that is to come. So symbolic, amen. As Christ is headed from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, with the promise of salvation that is to come for all mankind. If you're happy about your salvation, please say amen.
Amen.
Remember that song we used to sing when we were kids in camp? If you're saved and you know it, say
amen.
Amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. So it is so symbolic. And it's fairly easy to imagine that as they walk along, as we're looking at this illustration, that Jesus reaches out and grabs a grapevine and uses it as a teaching aid to the disciples. And in this lesson that we're going to look at today, using the grapevine as an illustration, Christ portrays himself as the vine, the source. He portrays the followers as the branches. If you got the picture, please say amen. Today I have four very simple points for us as we look at living attached to the true vine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a wandering vine. Amen? I want to be the vine attached to the branch.
Amen.
I want to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, we went to the pastor's conference for Florida, Brandon, this past Sunday evening, Monday and Tuesday. And in the course of those 3 days, I sat there and listened to 16 sermons from the best preachers you could ever imagine. Dr. Willie Rice, that some of you had a chance to hear a couple of years ago at the Gulfstream Baptist Association annual meeting. Johnny Hunt from Woodstock Baptist Church, the world famous preacher. Dr. Steve Gaines, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Cummings, who was voted in as the first African American president of the Pastors Conference in Florida history. And all God's people said,
amen.
Long overdue, wonderful man of God. And all the preaching there, and all the pastors that just shared their heart, culminated by Dr. H.B. Charles, a young preacher from Shiloh Baptist Church. You've heard me speak of him many times. Anointed man of God. When he preaches, and I'm trying to take notes, I run out of ink. He's just got such good stuff. So we have 4 points today, and the first point we're going to have, please jot down if you would. I invite you to jot down these notes in your bulletin. We see the product. We see the product. In verse 2, reading from the Word of God, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. There is the inference that it is implied that there should be a product of our salvation. That we should be fruitful in some way, shape, or form. Now, some of us are more fruitful than others in certain areas. Some of us are fruitful in the ability to praise God and hug the worst of the worst, no matter what. Amen? Others of us are fruitful in how we play the keyboard, or the guitar, or sing, or lead, or greet people as they come in, or the struggle to stay up with the pastor when we're running the PowerPoint. And the pastor goes right off script. And not only does he go right off script like I am right now, he didn't even bring you all of his notes. So you can follow along. You're just praying that the same Holy Spirit that fills the pastor is filling your heart. And so you guys, please keep this Margaret in prayer. You know, she's working hard back there. Now listen, friends, a branch either bears fruit or it does not. It either bears fruit or it does not. So, biblically speaking, what is fruit? Well, Scripture tells us that it is the grace of conduct. It is the grace of our deportment. What does deportment mean? It means the way we carry ourselves, the way we present ourselves in the world. It's our attitude. You ever come to visit a church and the people that look sit there, look like they just came to sit, soak, and sour? They look like they just drank a big old jar of pickle juice. You see, well, we never want to be like that. Amen?
Amen.
I come here to praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I praise the Lord day by day. I am so grateful for my salvation. I'm so grateful and thankful for the things in my life. I'm so grateful that at my age, that I still act like a kid sometimes.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm like that pet dog that everybody has. Everybody, if you have a dog and you love him, say amen. All right, people have their pets and they love their, you know, but all of us have had that dog, that pet dog in our lives that you love him, but you can't take him anywhere because he's so loving, but in public he's eventually going to do something inappropriate. And, you know, you just can't hardly take him anywhere. But sometimes I'm that way about Jesus. I just get loud. I get rowdy about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the biblical fruit, it involves our behavior. It involves our service to the Lord. If you look on the screen, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, reads this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, wait a minute, does it say fruits, plural? No, it says fruit, amen? So all of this is fruit of the Spirit. This is what every Christian should have. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You guys ever get a chance to do this? Your service is going to go about 10 minutes long today. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. See, friends, I appreciate your long-suffering today and the fact that you have gentleness, self-control, and you're not going to walk up here and drag me off the stage while I'm busy bragging for Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, bearing fruit pleases and glorifies God. You see, when we bear fruit, it's not for us, amen? It's to glorify God. It's to please God. That's what I want my life to do. I want to be a love offering. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to glorify God. And friends, God has just one priority for your life. Spiritual fruit. You are to be a blessing to your family. You're to be a blessing and fruitful to your community. But you are to be a blessing to God. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, in verse 2, the second half of verse 2 there, it says, he pruned that it may bear more fruit. That part tells us that what God does with a branch, it does not bear fruit. Do we all get lazy sometimes? Don't look all spiritual at me right now. Of course we all get lazy sometimes. And we get weary sometimes in doing well. We get weary in ministry and all of a sudden we find ourselves not being as fruitful. And God in those terms will start pruning and whittling away at the things in your life. If he thinks that X is infringing upon your ability to serve him and serve his people in the church, he will prune that out of your life. He will. He takes it away. And Jesus also tells us what God does with the branch that does not bear fruit. He prunes it. He takes it away. So that why? So that it can bear more fruit. You see, Mr. Ruth Ann, we have these flowers called amaryllis. And she planted them and they bloomed so beautiful the first year. I don't know if it's the last 2 years or last season or whatever it is, they came up with leaves. No flowers. Weeds. And so she went on a jihad out there in her garden and cut them all down to the ground. And now they're starting to poke up, and I looked out and I saw some of the stalks coming over the flower. They're like, okay, she's serious about this flower thing. Okay, and that's how the Lord is. The Lord will prune us down. So not only do we expect to have product, look at point number two today, that there is to be the productivity. There should be productivity in our life. Look at verse 5, if you would, in your Bibles. If you're there, please say amen. Let's try that. There we go. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do
nothing.
You see, friends, if we abide in him and he abides in us, we will bear much fruit. You cannot get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get close to having a heart like his and not be fruitful. It will be apparent. It may manifest itself differently in each and every one of us. I am so blessed, as I said, to have Miss Ruth Ann as my wife. And one of the side effects of that is she really cooks good. And with these slacks, I approached these slacks with trepidation this morning. Because the last couple of weeks, I've been very careful about what I've been eating. But it seems like by accident, I lost a few pounds, so I was able to put these slacks on. So I kind of strutting out until, hey, I can put these pants on. It was just so good. But listen, don't miss the progression of the text that we just read. God wants to move you in your life from bearing no fruit to bearing fruit. And then he wants to bear you, once you start bearing fruit, he wants to move you from bearing fruit to bearing more fruit. And then finally, he wants to move you from bearing more fruit to bearing much fruit. You see, there is a progression there. There's a progression in our lives. And God's goal for your life is that you will bear fruit, actual, added, abundant, abiding fruit. We are called to be a part of the fruitful life. Amen? For what purpose? For the glory of God. But listen, friends, as we look at that, fruitfulness is what God does in us only because of our union to the Lord Jesus Christ. Write this passage in your margin. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29, just write it in your margin. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Lord's desire is that we are to be fruitful, that we are to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we do that is by getting close to the Lord. Listen to me, friend. That's God's plan for your life. That is why God sent his Son into the world. That is why God sent us the Holy Spirit. That is why God breathed out his word, Holy Scriptures, to us. That's why God has left us in the world. That is your purpose on this earth. And that's why God has left us in this world. Friends, we are not saved for us. You are not saved for you. Listen to me, friends. You are not saved just to get to heaven. Because it is the will of God to have the Spirit of God use the Word of God so that the children of God may look like the Son of God and bear much fruit. Amen?
Amen.
That's a hallelujah chorus right there.
Amen.
So where do we get all of that? How do we prepare ourselves for being fruitful? Back at today's text, verse 3. You are already clean. Look at the person next to you and say, "You're already clean." Why? Listen to me. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Friends, you need the word of God. The first time you read scripture cannot be when you show up in church on Sunday morning. It has to be in your heart. It has to be daily part of your life. You have to read the word of God so much that when you are cut and you believe biblically. I've said that many times. Because when we have the Word of God, then we have the saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I cannot tell you how many times we heard that at the pastor's conference. I bring nothing to the plate. When I preach, "Thus saith the Lord." If you get mad at me, don't be mad at me, it's the office. Get mad at him. Listen, friends, when you have the Word of God, when you live by "Thus saith the Lord," you will have the power of Almighty God in your lives. And with the power of Almighty God comes the peace of God of heaven and earth. Are you troubled? Get in the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled, amen? But have the peace of the Lord God Almighty. And the peace that you will have as you look into the Word of God and as you become more and more fruitful, that peace comes because you are fully aware of God's call on your life. What is God's call on your life? To be fruitful. To bear much fruit. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen to me, Christians. It's not man's idea that causes us to be fruitful. Listen to what I'm saying. It is not the ideas of man that bear much fruit. All that man can produce is plastic fruit. It takes the God of heaven to produce real fruit.
Amen.
Only the God of heaven can do that. God produces real fruit. Let me put it just a simpler way for all of us. I'm a simple guy after all. We are to be fishers of men. We are not to be keepers of the aquarium. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of earth. And I'm calling upon Living Hope Baptist Church, every person sitting here today, all of the membership that are watching on the internet, or the friends from around the world, ask yourself this: did I share the gospel this week as the Lord gave me opportunity? That is what we are called to do. Friends, God is at work in you to make you and I look like Jesus. Period. End of statement. And all God's children said,
amen.
I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm so glad I brought my own. Some weeks I tell you to fasten your seatbelt. We're fixing to get into the launch mode here. You may want to put on a NASCAR harness. Listen, guys. God's purpose is not to make me a better pastor or a preacher. It is not. I am nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot change a life any more than I can create a star in the heavens. Only God can do that. And only God's Holy Spirit can move a heart. God's purpose is not to make me a better mom or a dad, or you a better mom or a dad. It's not to make us better husbands or wives. It's not to make us a better son or daughter, a better sister and brother. God's purpose is not to transform us into the world's best secretary, teacher, manager, cop, brain surgeon, or whatever it is that you may do. God is not working in your life to give you position, prosperity, or possession. God has one goal, and it's to shape the believer into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's for what purpose? To bear much fruit. And that fruit, that fruitfulness is not possessions, it's not all kinds of stuff. That fruit is lives changed. Lives changed. Lives changed through the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Living Hope Church, I am so convinced of God's goodness and God's mercy and God's grace. I am convinced of His gospel. Listen, guys, I am confident of God's calling in my life. I am confident of God's calling in each of our lives. And I am certain of Christ's victory in this great endeavor. How do I know I'm certain of Christ's victory? Because the victory is already won.
Amen.
When we look toward Christ, people say, look to the cross of Calvary. Well, that's a good thing to look at. That's something to focus on. But He's not there. He won victory over death and the grave. Our great God is in heaven. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of God, calling and making petitions every moment of every day. For who? For you.
Amen.
And for me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that when you are fruitful, when you share the gospel, that the Son looks at the Father and says, oh, look at Marcia. She shared the gospel today. Look at that. We're getting close. There'll be one more soul in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
And so, guys, listen to me. That's what it's all about. Christ has already won the victory because 2,000 years ago, Satan thought that he had won. The Son of God was safely in the grave. But on the third day, He rose again.
Yes.
The stone was rolled away.
Hallelujah.
The Shekinah glory of God burst forth.
That's right.
And it is only because of that, and only because of that, that we are called to be fruitful branches. Think about it for a moment. God created us. God created you. God created me. God determined where we would live. God determined where we would work. Nothing happens by fate, by chance, by accident. God knows what He is doing, and God has planted you where He knows you will grow best. Are you working in a place where there's absolutely no Christians there but you? Hallelujah! You have a clear mission. You don't have to elbow anybody aside to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no competition. There's a story that was told of a shoe salesman that was sent to Africa. He got over there and he was just doing terrible. And he called back home. He said, bring me back home. They said, why? He says, nobody over here wears shoes. But he sent another salesman. The other salesman goes over to Africa. within minutes of him arriving, he calls back on me. He goes, send me everything that you got in the warehouse. Nobody here has shoes. The opportunities are limitless. You see, it's the difference in how we approach it. Amen? If God has placed you as the only Christian in a pagan business, you are there for the glory of God. And he will give you the opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Miss Margaret, this is one of those points where I went right off on this. Listen, God knows what he's doing. And what happened to you is by divine appointment. It's not by accident. Your life, where you live, it's all about God, not your geographic point. It's not about where you are. It's all about who you are. Who are you? You are the redeemed of Christ. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. And who you are is somebody that can call upon the power of heaven itself. You see, when you go forth in Jesus' name, you call down the power of heaven itself to proclaim the great name of Jesus. Not only do we see the product, not only do we see the productivity, but now we're going to talk about fruitful prayer. Fruitful prayer. Look at verse 7 if you would, please. If you're there, please say amen. Read from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Amen.
Guys, there are a lot of people that have quoted this great promise from God. Sounds great, doesn't it? Ask the Lord, he'll give you what you've asked.
That's right.
Ask what you desire and it will be done. Here's the problem. They forgot the qualifications for that prayer. Because right before that, Jesus sets the qualification. If you abide in me, and I abide in you. You see, first you must abide in Christ. Second, you must let Christ's words abide in you. If you abide in Christ, and Christ's words abide in you, then when you pray, are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
When you pray, you will pray in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are that close to his desire. And when you pray for what the Son wants, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, God's going to answer that prayer.
Amen.
Amen? But listen, if you have little or no interest in His Word, if you aren't close to the Lord, if you do just enough to get yourself to heaven, this prayer is not for you. It's not. Sorry, friend, that's bad news, I understand, but I'm just reading what God's written in His own Word, amen? This prayer is for the fruitful redeemed of God. But while we're on the subject of prayer, may I ask you, how is your prayer life? Is it rich? Is your prayer life more than just a few minutes a day? And I don't mean do you hit the Lord with your daily shopping list of personal petitions. I do that myself. I show up with my grocery list. Well, Lord, you know, I need this, I need that, I need such the other. I mean praying in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praying with the heart of Christ.
Yes.
And because you do those two things, you know that your prayer pleases God. That prayer is a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God in heaven. Listen, friends. I'm asking you again. How is your prayer life? Let me ask this. Let me ask for an example. Whatever you prayed in the last 24 hours, think about it right now. Whatever you prayed in the last 24 hours, think about it right now. If you got it in your mind, say amen.
Amen.
If God answered every single one of those prayers, every one of them, how many more people would be saved right now that weren't saved 24 hours ago? You see, that one got all over me. If God answered every one of my prayers that I prayed the last 24 hours, how more redeemed of God would there be? See, that changes the scope, amen? That makes a difference in what I pray for. Because I'm praying for what God wants. What does God want? God wants you in heaven. God wants you in His heaven. If you're watching on the internet, I want you to understand, God wants you in His heaven. He's done everything He possibly could. He sent His Son to die on the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at verse 7 one more time. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done. If you are a branch of the true vine, there will be product, there will be fruit. There will be the productivity, much fruit. The prayer, asking that you be even more fruitful for the call of the gospel. That is what our prayer should be about. So listen, friends, what am I saying? I want you to read yourself full of the Word of God. I want you to pray yourself hot before the throne of God. And then I want you to turn yourself loose for the glory of God, declaring the gospel to the end of the world. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. So not only do we see the product, not only do we see the productivity, not only have we looked at the prayer. Oh, look at verse 8, and now we're going to talk about the praise. The praise. Write that down in your notes right there, right below point 3. Put your own point number 4 in there. Verse number 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear what? Much fruit. So you will be my disciples. You know what? When we pray in Jesus' name, we want to be His disciples. Amen? I don't want to be known as a follower of David Jeremiah, as wonderful as the pastor as he is. I don't want to be a follower of Johnny Hunt or Willie Rice, as wonderful of preachers as those men are. I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what I care about. You see, this word here, this is what? By this, that's the way verse 8 starts. By this, by what? By abiding in Christ, and Christ abiding in me, I will pray properly. And when I pray properly, my mind aligned with the mind and desires of Christ, my friends, my praise will be incredible. I'll praise God no matter what. I'll praise Him in the good times. I'll praise Him in the bad times. I'll praise Him. Why? Because He has transformed my heart. Listen, when you praise God properly, He will remind your mind. He will revive your soul. He will sanctify your ways. He will cleanse your hands. He will change your attitude. He will alter your lifestyle. And when He does all of that to your life, then you can stand back. You can bow down that it is through Christ alone that this wonderful thing is taking place.
Amen. Amen.
Not by my glory, but your glory, say to the Lord. Listen, what does Jesus say? By this, what? My Father is glorified. You see, in other words, our purpose is to glorify God. And it is God that is glorified when we bear much fruit. Friends, without God, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. Without God's help, I cannot be a godly husband. I cannot be a godly father to my children. I cannot be a Christ-like pastor. I cannot be a preacher, an expositor of the Word of God. Apart from Jesus Christ, you are looking at a man that simply cannot get anything done. So draw close to Christ, and Christ will draw close to us. But see, even in those times when I feel like I can't do anything and I can't get anything done, I go and I read Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And all God's people said. And never forget, friends, never forget, the fruit is produced in us. The fruit is produced in us, but the fruit is never produced by us. When souls get saved, that's the product of the Holy Spirit. You just happen to be open to what He was doing with you. A branch does not hold on to the vine, friends. The vine has the branch. And it praises the God of heaven and earth. Listen, friends, Living Hope Church is the Lord's church. We declare the Word of the Lord. We declare the Lord of the Word. And we call upon the Holy Spirit of God. We call upon the power of God as proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope I keep praying and lose the rest of my voice.
Amen.
Hang on a second. And we call upon the power of God as proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church family, the greatest indication of God's power is not found in the creation. I'm going to say this one more time. The greatest indication of God's power is not found in the creation. No, friends, the greatest indication of God's power is found in the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. He's raised again. You see, the empty tomb, its purpose is salvation, and is based upon a free will, personal decision by each and every one of us. You see, you must choose Christ. It's a personal free will decision. Let me tell you a remarkable thing. a remarkable thing, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is infinite and finite at one and the same time. I want to say that one more time, make sure you got it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is infinite and finite at one and the same time. On the one hand, it is infinite. It is open to everybody. Everybody can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But friends, listen to me, it is finite in this way, that on the other hand, it is active only to those that believe. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to exalt and receive as Lord the risen Savior. And what is His name, church? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Our God is great and mighty to serve.
Amen.
But you see, we all have a problem. Amen? Every one of us has a problem. We all suffer from the same inheritable disease that's rampant in us. That disease is called sin.
That's right.
But when we turn to the gospel, and when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and then we share the gospel, God gives all the praise.
Amen.
God gives all the praise.
Glory to God.
One final point. I heard an analogy this week. Oh, God bless you, sweetheart. Oh man, I wouldn't like the president to open that bottle.
Thank you so much,
Kevin. Thank you so much, Kevin. That was very sweet. I struggle just like everybody, folks, but I am so excited about the Lord.
Amen.
Final point. I heard an analogy by the great H.P. Charles of Chicago Baptist Church at the pastor conference this week. Let me apply it to our specific congregation, the church family here. You see, at Living Hope Church, we don't have a targeted group of people that we're looking for. I'll say it again. Living Hope Church, your leadership team, we do not have a targeted group of people that we're looking for. Jesus has called us to be fishers of men, but we're going to fish with a net, not a hook.
Amen.
You see, when you fish with a hook, you get to be picky. You know, you can fish for a certain kind of fish. Put that in church terms. You can search for you can fish for a certain age group. All right, you can fish for a certain gender. You can search for a certain ethnic background. You can search for people in a certain language. You can target all of those things, or you can target people upon a certain disposition or color of their skin. But we're not picky at all. All are welcome at Living Hope Church. And we don't cast a net. Throw a net. Whatever the Lord puts in that net, we're dragging them in.
Amen.
You see, that's why you look around. Look around this sanctuary. Look around this sanctuary. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Everywhere I go, I show pictures of you guys to the other pastors. And they look at this congregation. Then they look at me. And they look at this congregation. And then they look at me. They say, "You're the pastor." Glory be to God. They want to know my wife alive. Amen. Friends, we cast a wide net. And listen, if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, but you want to get to heaven, listen to me, friend. To get there, you must meet God's standard.
Amen.
And God's standard is perfection. You must be perfect in the eyes of the Lord. You must be in right standing. You must be righteous. God demands that. But the really good news is that what God demands, God provides.
Amen.
And He demands righteousness of you, and He provides the righteousness of Christ if you only receive Him. That is all that's required, friends. And just in case, if you think you can do it on your own, let me clarify something quickly. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Friends, we bring nothing to the table. We don't provide anything to our salvation except our sin-soaked souls that need saving. That's all that we bring. Psalm 85, verse 10 reads, "Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kids. Friends, that kid came to Calvary when Jesus Christ died for us. Receive Jesus Christ for them. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Every head bowed and every eye.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.